But this Sunday, we're going to hear from the team that went to Nicaragua a couple weeks back. So if we can bring everyone up that went on the foam trip. What's the matter? Four of you. Yeah, yeah. Well, we got Jason's here, right? And Betty. There we go. Yeah. So here's the team. Let's give them a praise the Lord. And we're going to need that mic if you could, Shay. Thanks, pal. And so I'm going to turn this mic over to Pastor Doug, and he's going to share about what took place in Nicaragua.
You know, I'd like to say that some of our team is missing, and some of them are, but they're Nicaraguans. But, you know, God uses the weak things to confound the wise. And, you know, don't let this team fool you. This team did some amazing things. And it's not because of us or who we are. You know, Gideon was a man that was hiding in a wine press threshing, or in a threshing thing, because of the oppression on Israel. And God used him. And in Judges 6:14, then it says, then the Lord turned on to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So then he said to him, "O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." And that's just the way God works. He uses small things and weak things of the world. And the other thing I want to read is Isaiah 49:6. He says, "Indeed," he says, "it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth." And, you know, it's teams like this that go and encourage those that are there, that we're working with, the churches that have been planted, the churches that are there. And it's the unlikely things. And just to take it, so this team went and encouraged, there's a man there that was serving as an elder in a church that was planted. And a couple times this church seemed like it was failing, it was over, and the church plant. And yet God used this man to pull it back together. And he was the most unlikely because he was a difficult man in his youth. He's the least of the men in his family. And yet it was this team that encouraged him to step up to the plate and become a pastor. And it's just, we've been praying for this for 3 years now, I guess. And, you know, it's just kind of amazing. Another thing is that some of the guys that we work with there went with the Turkey team to Turkey. And, you know, Nicaragua is the second poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. And it's most unlikely that they would be sent out. But God uses the weak things of this world. So.
Well, I want to first say, I was pondering this last night and just realizing last year, it was a year ago that we came to this church, and we were feeling pretty useless, like our best years were behind us. And praise God, he showed us, you know, the vision that he planted years ago. He's not done with it yet. So the one thing that we did Monday through Friday was Casa por Casa. We went home to home in five different communities, and some of them we would walk along these muddy paths and just be so surprised that there's another community back where you would never think to find people. And we would get to the edge of their property line and say, "Buenas, buenas," and they'd invite us in, and we would just get to talk with them and encourage them, pray for them, invite the children 3 days that week to a children's program. And just so neat how they would just give us their time. They had nothing to do later that day, so they'd just give us their time and just be open to hearing whatever we had to share with them. And the one day, we Loma de Gracia is where FOAM has their home now, and it's at the top of a hill. And at the bottom are all of these squatters. They've taken over the land, and the government recognizes it as theirs now. So we went from home to home because Betty and Doug really want to establish a rapport with these people and let them know about Jesus. So we went home to home and shared with them, and the kids started traveling along with us as we would go, and Rebecca blew a lot of bubbles. And then we would pray for them and then invite them to a children's program at 3 o'clock that afternoon. And it was pouring down rain most of that day. And we thought when 3 o'clock came and went that maybe there would be no children's program. But lo and behold, around 3:30 in the rain, here they started coming up the hill. And we had probably 25 children and parents just enraptured with hearing about the gospel. It was an incredible time. So that was the highlight. And I'm just so thankful that we were able to do this. At least 3 out of the 5 of our family. We've had a lot to talk about.
Okay, so anyone who's talked to me knows that I didn't want to go. My mom told me I had to go to the meeting about it, and then I was just told, oh, yeah, you're going to Nicaragua. And I'm like, yeah, I told you I didn't want to go in the first place. So the only thing I really looked forward to was the plane ride, but then as it got closer, it was first class, okay? But as I got closer, I told my mom, like, as long as there are kids that I can hang out with and, like, play with, I'd be okay. And that's actually what happened. Like, most of the time, I just got to, like, play with kids, and I blew a lot of bubbles and did a lot of, like, bracelets that were, like, an example of the lesson that we taught. And, yeah, so that was, like, the best part because they were so friendly and just, like, were giving me so many hugs and just talking. And I couldn't understand most of the time, but it was just a lot of chatter. And so, yeah, that made it worth it. And this is, like, the only time they'll hear me say it, but parents might know best sometimes.
One of the big things I drew from it, here, everyone's so, like, connected with their phones and everything like that, and down there, a lot of them do, but I didn't for that period of time, so I thought that was good just to be able to be present with, like, the people and to develop relationships with people, and yeah, that was really good. And I think one of the things that God taught me the most through this trip was that you don't, like, all you have to do is be willing to serve, and God will use you, and he doesn't need to, but he chooses to include you in his plan. And it seldomly looks the way you think it will. So, yeah, this trip was just kind of reaffirming those truths and just, like, disconnecting and being more present with people and in the moment. And that was really good.
Good. Okay, so, yeah, I got to Doug's wife. And so having this team come down was a real encouragement for us, especially we have been involved down in Nicaragua now for almost 12 years, building relationships. And truly, that's what God has put on our heart. Let's get to know the people. Let's get to know them in their culture. And so the beauty of that is they get to train us because they have to teach us how things work. And things work well, even though they're very different. Because we all always realize we serve the same God. So, but the beauty of it is over the years we see Christian communities developing. And for me, just to highlight today, this time, this team, like, one day we were praying and it was like, oh, I got it. We can have a youth retreat up at Campo Gotenio. We have all this place. And they're like, okay. And so, Dave, you teach, right? And anyway, God just pulled it all together. And we thought maybe 50 kids. Well, we had 100 teenagers come and their leaders. And it was just from 5 different churches that we've been working with. And so they were excited because now we're out of the city. And so now we're reaching more of the rural communities. I mean, 10 years ago, we did it in the city. Chris was down for that one, right? And, you know, for me, it just was like, wow, God, you are just bringing the Christian community further and further, because this is how you work, in the people, in the hearts of the people. One soul getting saved, sharing it with their siblings, and then it grows. And, you know, and I was thinking how cool it was. Like, I'm thinking some of these young people are going to go over to the Middle East. Like, some of the people from Nicaragua that we've been working with forever were with Chris and Jill in Turkey. And it's just like, this is what God does, right? When we say, okay, God, like Jason said, we just have to make ourselves available. We just have to surrender our plan and follow his. And it's a day-by-day thing. And just want to encourage you guys, keep walking that way. If God's leading you, whatever it is, keep going. So thank you.
I wrote it down because it's a lot. But my highlight is probably the strangest one you're going to hear. And my weaknesses were exposed in Nicaragua. And it was a highlight because I could watch the Lord work in powerful ways. I have three examples, and I'll try and make this quick. During the team prep meetings, like Betty said, you know, we determined a youth rally would be held, and I would be the speaker. I haven't done this in 17 years. But since we were going to serve the people, and she asked, I said, sure, why not? Then the Monday before we left, Betty sent me an email asking if I would be open to preaching the day after we arrived in Nicaragua. Sure, we're there to serve. Why not? But as I got up to preach, Doug was sitting there smiling at me. I thought, what did I? I haven't said a word. What did I do now? He noticed my hand trembling as I stood at the podium. And Chris can give witness to this, but one of the neatest sounds you will hear as somebody that gets up to share the word is when you say, open your Bibles too, and you hear the pages opening, scares you to death because they're reading the same words you are. You better get it right. And then the next day we went back to that same church in order to go house to house. The pastor couldn't go with, but his brother did. At the first house we stopped at, it was a lady and her husband, and the lady had diabetes and had just lost a toe. The toe was amputated. The pastor's brother looks at me and says, I believe in my heart that you're to pray for healing. I said, I'm what? He hands me this vial of oil that he takes out of his pocket and reads James chapter 5, where it says, if you're sick, call the elders, and they'll come and pray for you and anoint you with oil. The only problem is I'm not an elder. I had no idea what I was doing. But I'm there to serve, so sure. I asked the woman if I could lay my hand on her, and she agreed. And as I prayed, I felt a pressure against my side. She had leaned against me and was crying. Now, I don't know if she understood English, but she understood the heart of what I was saying. By Wednesday, I hit a wall, and I told everybody, look, I hit a wall. I'm an over-the-road trucker. I've got time by myself to think and process about everything. Down there, I didn't. So by Wednesday, I was maxed out. And I was wishing somebody hit a Control-Alt-Delete button on me to reset me, because I just couldn't take anymore. And I sat with Doug at night, and we just talked about some of the stuff I was trying to think through. But we went out Thursday, again, house to house, and I was toast. I just couldn't. I helped out with worship. I took a 15-minute nap in the van and sat down waiting for the pastor to speak. Sherry looks at me and says, you're speaking. I said, no, I'm not. She looks at Betty, and Betty's sitting there smiling at me. You're speaking. I think Doug and Betty take teams down just to laugh at them. I had nothing prepared. The lesson I was going to use with Sherry and Rebecca and Jason was an object lesson. We were going to do a piñata with children and then use the observation to teach the parents on how to receive the kingdom of God like a little child. How did the children receive the piñata? Excitement and joy, and that's how we do it as adults. We had no children. There was no piñata. There was no lesson. But as I got up to speak, a little girl we invited earlier that morning showed up. What we didn't know was there were three kids in the house, too. So when this little girl showed up, these three kids came out. Sherry and Rebecca and Jason had a class. I had a lesson, completely backwards of what I was intending to do. But it was the best way it could have happened, because as I taught the lesson and then we did the piñata, everybody joined in. The adults became part of the object lesson. And on our last Sunday there, I preached a hodgepodge sermon made up of the five sermons I had preached during the week. I preached 6 times in 8 days after having not done it for 17 years. Doug said nothing about speaking. When Doug made the announcement, this was a construction project. We didn't dig a ditch. We didn't lay a block. Just a word of caution. The next time he makes an announcement about an instructional meeting, get the details. I used Philippians 2:3-4 as my thesis. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit. And then focused on how the body of Christ functions and the character traits of the person who wishes to lead the church. What I didn't know when putting this message together was the man Doug was talking about was sitting right beside me. The one wrestling with the call to pastoral ministry. I'm giving this teaching on the body of Christ functioning and what a leader looks like to lead the body of Christ and how he's to be a servant, and the guy is sitting right here. After we got back home, Doug told me that mixed up message of 5 different sermons was used to confirm to Javier that he was to lead this church. That shook me. When he told me that a couple Sundays ago out here in the front, that shook me. And it should. I have many fond memories of Nicaragua, the relationships and friendships, and the pictures that you're seeing, small gifts we brought back, even the Nicaraguan belt. But right there, that's my souvenir. See, I thought God had taken a gift, and I so screwed it up earlier in life that he wrapped it up and put it on a shelf and said, "You can look at it, you just can't touch." Chris gave a sermon on one of the churches saying, "Hey, get back to your first love. God's not done with you yet." I had no commentaries, no references, no favorite authors to quote. We didn't have internet. I had nothing but the word. They asked me to speak. I got my Bible. I sat down. I prayed. Just give me a word. Give me a verse. Give me something. And then I just started writing. I found a verse and just started writing. And turned into 17 pages of different sermons. These are reminders of how God used my weakness to prove 2 Corinthians 12:9-10 true. God said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I'm going to boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, God is strong."